Hi, my name is Catherine, and today's scripture reading is Psalms 102, verses 1 to 28. If you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand, and an usher will get one to you. If you're using a church Bible, it's page 501. Psalms 102, verses 1 to 28. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my distress. Incline your ear to me. Answer me speedily in the day when I call. For my days pass away like smoke, and my bones burn like a furnace. My heart is struck down like grass and has withered. I forget to eat my bread. Because of my loud groaning, my bones cling to my flesh. I am like a desert owl of the wilderness, like an owl of the waste places. I lie awake, I am like a lonely sparrow on the housetop. All the day my enemies taunt me. Those who deride me use my name for a curse. For I eat ashes like bread and mingle tears with my drink. Because of your indignation and anger, for you have taken me up and thrown me down. My days are like an evening shadow. I wither away like grass. But you, O Lord, are enthroned forever. You are remembered throughout all generations. You arise and have pity on Zion. It is time to favor her. The appointed time has come. For your servants hold her stones dear and have pity on her dust. Nations will fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth will fear your glory. For the Lord builds up Zion. He appears in his glory. He regards the prayer of the destitute and does not despise their prayer. Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that people yet to be created may praise the Lord, that he looked down from his holy height. From heaven the Lord looked at the earth, to hear the groans of the prisoners, to set free those who were doomed to die, that they may declare in Zion the name of the Lord, and in Jerusalem his praise, when peoples gather together in kingdoms to worship the Lord. He has broken my strength in mid-course. He has shortened my days. O my God, I say, take me not away in the midst of my days, you whose years endure throughout all generations. Of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you. The word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, Cornerstone. Good to see you all again. It's a beautiful morning here today. You know, we have had the privilege of going through this series on God's character, His attributes, and we've learned, you know, a bunch of different things. We learned that God is first, right? That God is the first creator. He is first in this world, in this universe. We learned that God is love, right? Source of He's the source of love. He gives us love. He is loving. We learned that God is a God of mercy, that He shows mercy upon His people, that God is jealous, right? That God is sovereign, God is all-knowing. And there are many, many more attributes that we can say about God and go on and on and on. But we, you know, chose these topics because we felt that they were important, obviously, right? Learning about God's attributes are important. But also we felt that some of them may not be ones that we're all too familiar with. So, but now I get to finish it off for us here today, right? And for me, it's been fun to hear a lot of these sermons, just to hear about God's character again. And, you know, we learned these things growing up. We learned this in Sunday school, a lot of us. And it's just great to be reminded of these things and these truths. And some of us may think it's basic or just kind of like, oh, we learned this when you're in fifth grade or fourth grade. But for me, it reminds us of how good our God is and how faithful He is in so many ways and how amazing He is. And so today, I have the great pleasure of preaching on the truth that God is unchanging, that God is unchangeable. the theological term is immutable, kind of the fancy schmancy way to put it, right? So let me just pray for us before we start and kind of go into what this means that God isn't changing. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can share once again. Lord, it is a privilege to know you, Lord, to know more about you, to learn who you are, to learn your ways. And Father God, we humbly come before you seeking your wisdom, Lord, and to know who you truly are so we can hold on to these truths each and every day of our lives, God. And Lord, we pray that this would just penetrate our hearts, that it would come into us, Lord, that your Spirit would move in our hearts, and that these truths would really make an impact in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So some of the hardest moments in life are in moments of change, right? They can be big changes, like maybe you're getting married, right? Maybe you're having children, right? Those are big, big changes. And, you know, some of them could be small. They could be like you're starting high school. You're starting middle school. You're moving up to Cornerstone Worship, right? Actually, that could be a big change for some of you. But for most of us, change is very uncomfortable. I know for me personally, I went to different middle schools and different high schools. And those changes, although not the hugest thing, they were very, very uncomfortable. You know, moving to a new town, moving to a new location, trying to make new friends. It's very, very uncomfortable, very difficult place to be. And that's what change brings to us. It brings us discomfort. And, you know, we like familiar things. We like predictable things. We like to know what to expect. Especially for those who are plan-oriented, right, schedule-oriented. Right, we have, like, our schedules, we have our plans, what we want to do. And when something disrupts that, when something changes that, we get very anxious, get very uncomfortable. And many of us have this real fear of the unknown. Right? Some of us who may not know what we want to do in the future, right? We don't know what we want in 5, 10 years. So great fear that we have, this fear of change that is to come. But what is great about our God is that He is a God who never, ever changes. He stays the same. And we sing these songs of God being true to His Word, God being faithful, God never changing. And these all come to the fact that, yes, He is, in His very nature and character, unchanging. That is who God is. And it reveals to us a little bit more about who God is in the big picture as well, when we see this truth that God is unchanging. And that's what we'll be going through here today. So we see it in our passage for today, right? We read through the whole Psalm, Psalm 126, or 102, I mean. And, you know, we see it here, this man, the psalmist, the person who wrote it, we see him in just total despair. Right? We see him from the very beginning just in total anguish and despair, begging to God, what is happening? He's confused. And we don't really know what's going on either in the passage. We don't really know what's happening to him. It's obviously something very uncomfortable, probably a sudden change that happened in his life that he did not expect. And he is totally in anguish and he is in pain because of this. And all of these things are happening in his life. And it's making his life uncomfortable. But at the end of it, he finds security and comfort in knowing that God is the one who has laid the foundation of the earth. And at verse 26 onwards, it says, "They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same. And your years have no end. The children of your servants shall dwell secure. Their offspring shall be established before you." Right, he's clinging to this truth that, yes, all these changes happening, all these things are changing before him. But the one true fact remains that God is unchanging. And that is what he can have his hope and security in. That all these things may pass and may change, the grass fades, the flowers wither, but he stays the same. So the first thing that we can learn is the truth that God is unchanging means that God is who he says he is. Like I've been saying throughout the whole series, we've been looking at his attributes, we've been looking at who God is, these truths about who God is. And the only way we know that these things are true is because it's been revealed to us. Right? We know this through his word. Right? It's been throughout history as well. We've seen it throughout history and also in the word of God as we read it today. So God has revealed to us all these different things about him. Right, again, that God is first, he is love, he is merciful, he is gracious, compassionate, he is jealous, he is sovereign, he is all-knowing, all-powerful. And so the fact that he is unchanging means that all of these truths that we've learned in weeks past, he will always have these attributes. He will never, you know, get rid of them. It will never be taken away from him. He will always have these attributes. Right. He will never, ever surrender them. God is unchanging. He is unchangeable. Nothing can take that away from God. So when God says he's merciful, it means he is always going to be merciful. When God says he is gracious, he will always be gracious. When God is loving, he will always be loving. You may not see it that way in your life at the current moment. Right? Many times we're bitter at God. We're like, God, why are you doing this to me? Why is this happening to me? Why is this change happening to my life? Just as the psalmist is writing. But the fact is, the truth is, no, he is being merciful to you. He's being loving to you. He's being gracious to you in every circumstance in your life. So again, when God is merciful, he is merciful. And again, it looks differently in different circumstances, different situations. But the truth remains the same. And the reason why it comes out differently to different people is because we are all different. We are all different individuals. Right? God has to speak to us in different ways to communicate to us, to get us through our fixed goals, to make us understand that he is merciful, he is loving. So for one example, and this is not because I am getting married. I just thought of this beforehand. So maybe God is showing you mercy by keeping you single. Right? He's showing mercy upon you because he knows that you are not mature enough to spend the rest of your life with someone. Right? He knows that once you get married, that you will not be ready for this. Right? He knows that it is not an easy endeavor to get married. Right? Everyone who's married will tell you it is not easy. And maybe he knows you well enough that no woman or man will come close to you because you're not ready for it. You are not mature enough to handle it. So that is God showing you mercy from your suffering of being stuck with someone that you don't want to be with. You know, it's funny, but I'm being serious. This is God showing you mercy. Because he knows that you will suffer, that you will go through pain trying to spend your life with this significant other, but you're just not ready and mature enough to handle it. That is why God may be keeping you single. Right? He is delivering you from your misery that is to come. But for others of us, God may be showing you mercy by providing a spouse for you. Right? You may have had a difficult home life. You may have never had a great family. You may have had a dysfunctional family. You never knew what love really meant until you met someone who loves you, who loved you for who you are. And God showed you mercy by having that experience of love, of not having to feel alone and despondent anymore. Now you feel hopeful because God has provided you with a family. God has shown mercy upon you by providing spouse for you. Now, both examples are displaying the same character of God. God is showing mercy upon you, depending on who you are, depending on your circumstances. So for us, we have to know that God loves me. God has shown mercy upon me. And that character will never change. He will always love me. He will always have mercy upon me. But it will play out differently in my life than in your life. And that is because God knows you so intimately. He knows you so well. He knows how you act, how you will act, how you will respond, whether you're ready for something or not. God knows you so well. And because of that, yeah, things will just look differently in your life. And we have to just remember that no matter what is happening to us, God is using that for good. He knows you. He cares for you. And He is loving you no matter what your circumstances in your life. Whether you're single, not single, whether you're rich, poor, whether you're smart and doing well in school, or whether you're not doing well in school, no matter what, God is showing you love and mercy because He knows your character and He knows who you are. And that is just who God is. God is unchanging and His attributes are unchanging, even though the way He expresses His attributes may be different to different people. So God is who He says He is. Secondly, God is true to His word. So not only is God who He says He is, everything He says and all His promises are true. And they will be true forever. That means that when God promised to free the Israelites from slavery, He fulfilled that promise. That means when God promised the protection and salvation of us, God fulfilled that promise through Jesus Christ. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God find their yes in Him, Jesus Christ. That is why it is through Him that we utter our amen to God for His glory." That's why we say amen when we pray. These are His promises for us. And these are beautiful, beautiful promises that God has made to all of us. And the fact that He never goes against these promises gives us so much security. Right? It's because God is not arbitrary. Right? God just doesn't do whatever He wants to do, whenever He feels like doing. He's not fickle, and He doesn't change His mind all the time. Right? So one silly example, right? Like for some of us, we meet maybe trying to buy a car. Sorry for the younger ones. You don't know what this means. So, you go to a dealership, you go to buy a car. You see this beautiful car, right? What you see is a Mitsubishi Lancer Evo, right? For car people know what this car is, right? And it's a beautiful car. It's a lot of fun to drive. It's really loud, so you could be obnoxious on the road and be like, "Psh, my car is amazing and awesome," right? So you see this car, it's so amazing, and you go to the dealer and you say, "I want a contract. I want this car. Give me this car. I want it," right? And so you go through all the paperwork. It's like hundreds of pages to sign. You sign it, and this contract says that you promise to own this car. You promise to have it. It is yours, right? Legally speaking, this is your car. So you do all of that, right? But then when you drive by, in your beautiful Evo, and you're making a lot of noise, you pass by another dealership, right? And then what you see is a beautiful, beautiful Subaru WRX, right? Oh my goodness. And then you just like stop where you are, just go there. You have to look at this car. It's captured your attention. You're like, "Oh my goodness, this is amazing." And you go check it out. And you see it, it's so slim and beautiful. The design isn't as tacky as the Evo, right? It has a classic sound, not like that obnoxious sound the Evo makes. It's like, "Oh my goodness, this is amazing. I gotta get this car now. This has just melted your heart." You hear that engine noise, you're like, oh, this is amazing. I need this car. I need to buy this car. And so what you do is you go back in your Evo And you're like, oh, I just got to return this car. So you go back to the dealership, you're like, please, let me return this car. Let me give this car back. I know it doesn't really work like that, but can I return it? Please, you beg. And you're like, please, 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 let me give this car back. Rip up the contract, do something. I don't know. And what you do is you just start making up stuff. You're like, oh, it doesn't do the things that you said it does. You know, it doesn't rev the way it's supposed to. It kind of messes up when you mess with the clutch. Oh, this is a horrible car. I don't want this anymore. And you make up all these lies to try to get rid of your car, right? And so the dealer is like, okay. We don't ever really do this, but we'll take your car back. And so it takes your car, and then you go back to the Subaru dealer, and you're like, yes, I can have my beautiful and better WRX. Right? So I actually don't know much about cars. I've just heard this debate about Evo and WRX. But I use this example because, like, what if God was like that, right? Right? God saw his beautiful creation, and he was like, I promise you salvation. I promise to love you, to be merciful to you, no matter what. Right? And he does all these things. And then he's like, I don't really feel like it anymore. I don't really want to save you guys anymore. So you know what? You're not my special creation, my very good creation. I'm just going to make monkeys my very good creation now, all right? You know, you guys are just other animals now. We'll just make monkeys our very good creation. They will receive my blessing and salvation, okay? Jesus has now died for them. No longer you. What kind of God would we be worshiping? If God was just arbitrary, he just did whatever he wanted, whatever he felt like doing, his promises didn't mean anything to you, to us, would we be here worshiping him? Would we cling to his promises? No, because he'd mean nothing if this is the type of God we worship. And honestly, it would be horrible to have this type of God. It would be probably the worst case scenario for us as his creatures. But thankfully, our God is not like that. Right? Despite your sinfulness, despite your mistakes, even though you will reject God, and even though God hates that, he still knows this, and yet has chosen to save you. Even knowing this truth, he has chosen to save you. And he will not back out of that promise. Because he knows you're going to mess up. He's known this from the very beginning. Yet he still chose to do it anyway. That is who our God is. And for us, what it means is that we are to believe in this promise. Believe in this promise that he, whatever he says is true. We have to hold on to that promise that he has made for us. And one thing about believing in his promise, it takes more than to just acknowledge this truth. It takes more than to just say, like, oh, okay, I know it. I know that God has made promises to me. Because, and I think I've said this before, even the devil knows the truth that Jesus is the way, and the truth, and the life. This fact is something the devil knows, right? And he acknowledges this. So it takes more than just knowing in our heads. It takes a spiritual understanding. And we see this in a famous theologian named Charles Hodge. He's from the late 1800s, early 1900s. And he says this, it takes spiritual apprehension of the truth. Right? Spiritual apprehension, which ultimately means that it's deeper than just in our heads. Right? It's something that we believe truly in our hearts. Something deeper than just head knowledge. It is heart knowledge. So that this is true deep within us. So that when you hear these promises, hear these truths about God, you're not just going like, okay, I got it, okay, No, you do that to your parents when they're like lecturing you, right? Okay, I understand. No, it's about being in total awe of what God has done for you. It's being, oh my goodness, like, what has He done for me? And seeing the beauty of everything that He's done, of dying on the cross for you, just being, oh my goodness, Lord, thank You for what You've done for me. I am in awe of who You are. That is what it means to believe His promises. To have that in your heart, to be like, yes, Lord, I see Your beauty, and I am in awe of it, and I love You for what You have done for me. And it's written to us plainly in the Westminster Shorter Catechism. Right? What is the chief end of man? And the answer that is provided is that the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That is the chief end of man, to enjoy God. That means you genuinely have joy in knowing Christ. That's not just a chore, and it's just not like, oh, okay, I got it. Okay, I understand. It's like, yes, thank You, Lord, for everything that You've done. And you see the beauty of who He is. That is true faith and belief in Him. So do we believe in His promises, and do we enjoy God for what He has accomplished for us? So God is true to His Word, and His promises are true. And lastly, we know that because God is unchanging, God is our rock and anchor. And I wanted to close with this, actually, because we can stake our lives on this truth that God's nature and Word is unchanging. It is the very foundation that we can build our church upon. Right? It is an anchor that is strong enough to fix our hearts on Him, no matter what change comes in our life. Even when unexpected change comes, even if we become homeless people on the streets, even if we fail out of school, even if we lose our jobs tomorrow, even if we never get married, even if we don't get employed, our hearts can hold on to this truth that God is unchanging. And because He is unchanging, everything about Him will stay the same. All His attributes that we learned before will stay the same. And even His Word and His promise to you will always be true and faithful. So that is the nature of our God. That is His character. He will never, ever change. He will always love us. He will always be merciful. He will always be compassionate. He will always be sovereign over all things. Nothing can be taken away from Him. And will ever be taken away from Him. And He will never act arbitrarily. He will never just change things on a whim. Right? We change our minds all the time, but God does not. He has made His promise. Yeah, He has His will, and it will be done. Right? We're such fickle people. We change our minds about like having lunch or where to have lunch, right? I think that's the greatest conversation. Well, not the greatest, but like the longest conversation that you'll ever have in a group, right? I remember one time I was standing outside. It's like eight of us, and we're like, oh, where should we go out to eat? And it basically took like 45 minutes to decide where to eat. I'm sure this has happened to many of us many times, right? We're just such fickle people. We don't even know what we really want. But God is so different and so amazing that He knows exactly what He wants. He knows exactly what He's going to do. God is consistent. He will always be consistent. And for us, what that means is that God will always want to save us. that He will always pursue us. He will always love us. He will always provide for us. That's what it means for us. And we see that evidence through Jesus Christ already, dying on the cross on our behalf, saving us from our sins, and giving us eternal life. So this truth of God's unchanging nature should give us peace. It should be the rock and anchor we fix our hearts upon. It should give us peace. It should give us hope. It should give us security. Right? But the question for us here is, do we truly believe this in our heart? Do we believe in the promises of God in our heart? Or do we just kind of know them in our heads? I posed this question earlier, but it's something I want us to really think about. Not just here right now, but as you continue to live your life, as you continue to come to church, do we really fix our hearts on the truth of God and His promises? Right? Do we believe in these attributes of God? Do these things truly give us security and hope in our lives? Do we enjoy God because we know His attributes and His promises are true? That is a question I want us all to think about here today. And I'll close my time with this question. And let's take some time on our own. It's time to reflect on how God may be speaking to you, and how God may be teaching you, showing you that His promises are true, that He is ever faithful. And He wants you to see that beauty. So my hope here is that all of us will treasure God, treasure Jesus, treasure the Holy Spirit. And that we would be awed by the beauty of our triune God, and be awed by what He has done for us. So why don't we take some time now? We can close our eyes. It's time to personally reflect on that. And ask God to reveal more and more of His beauty to us. So, just come to our Lord and just ask Him to reveal more and more of this truth, His promises. Make it true in our hearts. Let's pray.